This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Lawmakers in the House and Senate said last week they have reached an agreement on the Water Resources Development Act, according to The Hill. Lead negotiators say they will bring their agreement to the House and Senate floors this week. The water bill apparently identifies about $8 billion worth of new water infrastructure projects and authorizes funding for them. Osteoporosis is a bone disease that will affect half of all women in their lifetime and a quarter of all men. I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about this bone disease.
Osteoporosis is actually a thinning of the bones, and the word osteoporosis literally means porous bones. What happens is the disease is characterized by low bone mass. It develops gradually, slowly. Oftentimes, there are no warning signs until the bones actually become so fragile that they break. Quite often, we see this in bones in the hip area of the spine and also the wrist. Again, it is a disease that we tend to see in older individuals.
We may see it more frequently in older individuals, but does that mean you are not at risk if you're younger?
Well, what happens is that, you know, actually it's a disease of older individuals, but the starting point for this is in our early childhood years and then through our teenage years, because we know that in order to prevent osteoporosis, we need to make sure that our diet is rich in calcium. And, of course, for many of us, that means that we need to work harder to make sure we're getting our 3 servings of milk, yogurt, and cheese on a daily basis, because they provide so much calcium. So it's really important to focus in on that. So a diet rich in calcium is critical, along with our lifestyle, making sure that we're active and physically fit.
So it's something that you need to take preventative measures to avoid early on.
Well, if everybody met the calcium recommendation and got the recommended amount of calcium in their diet, there would be no problem. But many people do not. So it is critical, especially, you know, in our childhood years, our teen years, and probably up until about age 25, that we really work hard to make sure our diet is healthy, that it is calcium rich. Because our body will take the calcium, it stores it in our bones, and if we do not provide our body calcium through our diet on a daily basis, our body will take the calcium it needs from our bones. And if we do that over a lifetime, that's when we see the issue of bones becoming very thin and brittle and porous.
Now, what are some risk factors for susceptibility to osteoporosis?
Well, obviously, there are many different risk factors. We just talked about 2 of them. One is, of course, our diet, making sure that we have a healthy diet. The other one is being physically active, making sure we have weight-bearing exercise. That's important. There is a genetic aspect to the disease, so if someone in your family has had a problem with osteoporosis, that may mean that you are more at risk for developing osteoporosis. Women tend to get osteoporosis more than men, but men can still get it. In fact, there are statistics that tell us that 1 out of every 4 men over the age of 50 will develop osteoporosis, and 2 out of every 4 women over the age of 50 will have a problem with osteoporosis. And then there are other lifestyle factors. Individuals who smoke tend to be at greater risk, and individuals who consume too much alcohol are also, that's one of the risk factors.
All right. I found it interesting that weight-bearing exercises will also help to prevent getting osteoporosis.
You know, exercise is very important along with diet because it helps to maintain bone health throughout our life. Weight-bearing exercises, for example, things like walking or jogging, hiking, tennis, volleyball, and dancing, it really does make an impact on the bone, and this helps in turn to stimulate bone growth and also helps to maintain the bones. So for maximum bone benefit, we need to include a variety of weight-bearing activities every day, if at all possible, and we want to strive for about 30 minutes of activity each and every day.
Now, what about for those who are lactose intolerant? How can they make sure that they get enough calcium to prevent osteoporosis? Are things like calcium and vitamin D enhanced orange juice good alternatives?
You can. That is an option. But one thing that I might recommend, even for people that are lactose intolerant, is you can still have yogurt. It has natural bacteria, which will help your body digest lactose, which is that milk sugar. often people who have lactose intolerance are missing out on an enzyme that helps them to do this. So definitely you can still eat yogurt. You can also eat natural types of cheeses like cheddar and Swiss and Colby. So all of those are easy ways to still rely on dairy. And then another strategy you can try is, of course, there are many versions of lactose-free dairy out there in the grocery store. So check that out as well. Oftentimes, people who have lactose intolerance can also purchase an enzyme from the drugstore that will help them, again, digest that lactose and break it down. Something like lactase is an option for them as well.
All right. Sounds great.
But again, the main thing is just remember, include dairy in your diet. Try to get 3 servings each and every day and be physically active, and you can prevent something like osteoporosis developing down the road.
Again, that was Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
If you're a bad driver, you're going to get plenty of attention, especially from our friends in the law enforcement. But if you're a good driver, you usually don't get the attention you deserve. That's why Country Financial offers the Select Customer Discount. If you and your family members qualify, you could receive a discount up to 25% on your auto insurance right from day one. The Select Customer Discount, it's something that good drivers deserve. Find out more about it today from me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country Financial representative in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706. Visit ctemi.com for more information. Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Getting together means a lot at farm bureaus in Illinois, because when county farm bureau members get together, things can happen, like local projects and committees, volunteer activities and workshops, county and state meetings, even travel and sports programs. Yes, when Illinois farm bureau members get together, they get things done and have fun too. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau at 217-854-2571, because at Illinois farm bureaus, membership means people.
Wolf Oil in Litchfield has been serving farmers and the community for over 50 years. Plus, they now have regular unleaded with no ethanol, unleaded with ethanol, 2%, and 11% biodiesel fuel, all available at their station and available for bulk delivery throughout the area. Plus, Wolf can take care of your propane needs, including tank leasing. Just call Wolf Oil, North Old Route 66 in Litchfield, 324-4086.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin, or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
The Montgomery County Farmland Assessment Review Committee will hold a public hearing on procedures and certification of adjusted 2014 farmland values proposed by the Department of Revenue on May 30th at 10 a.m. in the County Boardroom, second floor, Historic Courthouse in Hillsboro. For questions, you can contact the Chief County Assessing Official, Ray Durston. This weekend was a great weekend to get a lot of work done out in the fields for many farmers. I spoke with Madison County farmer Gary Connect about how the planting season is progressing for his family.
Me and my brother farm in Madison County around the Edwardsville area, and then I help my son farms up in Menard County on some family ground that we have up there, and float back and forth to both of the destinations. But planting has been progressing. It really progressed a lot last week. We've had some serious rainfalls down here. The first part of April we had 7.5 to 8 inches of rain, and then around the last week in April we got another 4.5, which really flooded a lot of the fields here in Madison County and just did some terrible, terrific washing and stuff in different fields that weren't even tilled for this year yet. And of course it's been completely opposite up in Menard County around the Petersburg area, where it's been dry up there, and my son's got pretty much all of his crops put in the ground up there. We finished up there this weekend on the beans that he had to put in there yet. Getting back to Madison County again, we just got our corn in last week, and we haven't Sunday night, so we're a little wet again here, so we're waiting for that to dry out, and then maybe we can move forward with the beans down here.
That must be really interesting, juggling farming in two different counties, especially when it seems that the conditions were so different so far for the planting season.
Yeah, but when it works out like it did this year, when it's too wet in one place and it's dry in another place, you can be going back and forth. It's a little more, you know, the juggling act, like you said, when it's maybe dry in both places or wet in both places. But this year, even though the conditions haven't been as great as we'd like to see them down here, it's benefited up there as far as helping my son get some more of his stuff in.
All right, sounds great. And what are the breakdowns of what you're planting this year? Kind of what's the ratios that you guys are looking at for corn and beans and everything?
Yeah, roughly we're about, I would say probably, if you combine the two places, probably about 60% beans and 40% corn.
All right. And why did you guys decide to break it down like that and have more beans this year?
Because normally down here we've gone to a lot of back-to-back corn year after year down in our area here. The soil types are such that we can do that and get by with it. The price, it's a lot of the fields we've put in corn 6-7 years in a row, so we decided to switch over to beans. And what helped determine that naturally is the $12, $13, $14 bushel price for beans.
Yep, I think everybody is eyeing up those at nice prices for beans this year.
Correct.
All right, and do you have any concerns looking at this year's growing season? I know last year a lot of farmers had some problems with weeds in their beans. So what are some main concerns that you're looking at this year?
Well, actually, it's a little too early to tell on anything. Like I said, we just got our corn in down here last week, and there was some concerns up in Menard County area with the corn being in the ground there for 10 days to 2 weeks in the fields that the boy planted, and some of it was starting to kind of flower under because of the cool, wet weather we had there. But then they were fortunate and got a half inch of rain the other night there, and so when we was up there Saturday, a lot of that corn's come through, and it's looking pretty good right now, much better than it did 4 or 5 days prior to that when it was a little cooler and wetter. So I think for right now, things are looking pretty good, and it's too early to tell as far as weed pressure that goes because, like I said, we haven't been going that long.
All right, very good. And a lot of farmers out there, well, everybody knows farmers are very much tied to their technology. It's been shown that farmers tend to jump on technology trends sooner than the general populace. So let me ask you, what is your favorite piece of technology out there that farmers are using nowadays? I know auto steer has become really popular for a lot of farmers, but what would you say is your favorite piece of technology that's coming out?
Yeah, the auto steer, as you mentioned, is a great piece of technology, and it's been around for several years. But I know the planting the last couple of years, there's been a lot more effort put towards planters and the exact placement of the seed and the position of the seed, how it's put into the ground and the spacings, and seem to be coming more and more of an important factor as far as determining the final yields. And the technology that they're coming out with in terms of the new planters, I think, is one of the most fascinating right now.
Oh yeah, that precision plant technology. I'm sure a lot of people are eyeing that up right now and trying to get that implemented in their fields.
Yeah, and again, I don't have that, but, you know, if I had to have my wish list there where I would want something just to just pull into the yard and be ready for me to go, that would be the one thing probably right now.
If Santa could have dropped that off for Christmas this past year, that would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been fine, and I wouldn't have argued a bit.
All right. Well, Gary, we seem to have covered everything that I wanted to talk about. Do you think that we're leaving anything out here?
No, not. I just, you know, basically, like I said, it's still early for in the season for a lot of the things we got done, and we're hoping that maybe by the middle of the week, if it dries out and we don't get some more rain, which they're talking about today down here, I think for us in the St. Louis area, maybe another good shot at, you know, some more rain. But if it holds off for a couple more days, maybe we can get back in the fields and maybe get our beans wrapped up in the next 5 or 6 days. So that's the main thing.
Again, that was Gary Kinect from Madison County, and I'm sure he's joined by many other area farmers in his hopes for some dry weather so he can get all of his soybeans in the ground. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.